After that horrific shooting at the historical AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina recently, we heard the calls once again for more gun control. And on the other side, you heard an argument that you often hear as well after a tragic incident like that. Mike Huckabee was among those who voiced it. The presidential candidate and former Arkansas governor said the one thing that would have at least ameliorated the horrible situation in Charleston would have been that if somebody at that prayer meeting had a concealed carry or there had been either an off-duty policeman or on-duty policeman, somebody with the legal authority to carry a firearm and could have stopped the shooter. The idea that somebody with a gun could stop a shooter is very popular. You hear Chief James Craig in Detroit talk about more civilians arming themselves to prevent harm to themselves and their families. But now we've got a new study that was just released, and this one showed up in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. It was done by a number of doctors, led by one from Harvard Medical School, Michael Monuto, who said, "We found no support for the hypothesis that owning more guns leads to a drop or a reduction in violent crime." And this is now being cited by anti-gun people as an I-told-you-so moment. But is the study really valid? That's the question. There's a man who says, no, it's not. It's ill-conceived and ignores some basic fundamentals of doing a basic study like this. And that's John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, on the other end of our line. Hello, John. Good to have you back on the show.
Great to talk to you again, Frank.
So where did Monuto and his other fellow doctors who studied this get it wrong?
Well, let me give you a simple example, and that is people often, I mean, this was looking across states, but often when you debate people or talk to people about guns, they'll say, look at the Britain. They have relatively few guns, and they have relatively low murder rates, so therefore, compared to the United States. So it must be that low gun ownership is what's causing the low homicide rate. The problem is that if you look before they had gun control, like the 1997 ban on handguns, they had an even lower murder rate. The murder rate went up when they had the ban. So the point is, there are lots of things that vary across countries or states, and what you want to do, and what I've always done in my research, and I think the vast majority of either economists or criminologists do, is that you want to see how, when a law changes, how does a crime rate change relative to what it was already in that state, and how that change over time corresponds to how other states that aren't changing their rules are changing. And that's not what they do here. They essentially just looking across states, just like comparing the UK to the US, and they say, look, the UK has relatively, and this is essentially what they're doing, they say the UK has relatively few murders, they have few guns, and so therefore it must be that low gun ownership is beneficial rather than harmful. And I have the data already that they use, because I run these types of regressions all the time myself, and if you go to our website at crimeresearch.org, I essentially show if you do it the way they do, you get their result. But if you do it so you try to take into account these differences the way, as I say, academics usually do in everything other than public health, it reverses their results.
Well, this is a very common, I'll use the word trick, that is that's used often by people who want to push an agenda like gun control.
Right.
They do the same thing in global warming. You know, they use phony data, they ignore past history, and they just come to their own conclusion based on a cherry-picked series of stats.
Yeah, I've been working with some medical professionals at University of Pennsylvania and some other universities on responding to another recent study that came out claiming that licensing of handguns in Connecticut caused a 40% drop in firearms murders over 10 years. You mentioned cherry picking. I'm just bringing this up because, and you can also find this on our website at crimeresearch.org, it's just amazing to me the lengths to which people are willing to go to cherry pick. So they say 10 states have these laws. We're just going to look at one. You've read my work. You know, if states have changed the law, I look at all the states and I compare them all. Rather, if you're going to pick one place, you better have a damn good reason why you're only looking at one. Or if you're only going to look at certain years of data when there's lots of years available. So the study just came out, but they look at data up through 2005. Why not afterwards? No real reason is given for why they don't do that. But and they only look at a couple crime rate categories. They don't look at many others. And so when I see something like that, I said, well, why did they pick only one state? Why did they end this in 2005 when we got lots of data after this? Why didn't they look at all these other crime categories? And it's really obvious when you look at this, and that is anything else that they would have done would have changed their results. Mm-hmm. So if they had looked at a shorter period of time, they would have gotten different results. If they looked at a longer period of time, it would have reversed their results. And also just even the way it's framed, they say, well, it fell by 40%. Well, murder rates, violent crime fell nationally from 1995 to 2005. It isn't that you can't find a state that saw a drop in murder rates or violent crime rates there. Is that did you see a bigger drop in the state that adopted this law that you want us to have relative to other states? And, you know, I just look at this stuff and I kind of figure, but it's going to get worse. I mean, Bloomberg is spending a huge amount of money subsidizing a lot of this research. You got George Soros funding a lot of this research. You got the Obama administration funding a lot of this research. You got like 23 large foundations that were involved in the healthcare debate that Obama's convinced them now to put their tens of millions of dollars into funding this type of public health research on guns. And over the next year and a half, going up to the 2016 election, you will never have seen so much so-called research coming out as you're going to be seeing over that period of time.
And the real shame is, if you look at this dispassionately and really examine the worth of the studies, you'll see that they have bastardized the science, and it should raise doubts about every aspect of their argument, but that's not the way it's going to be reported in the mainstream. And that's the shame, is that we should expect the science to be pure. Just give us the facts. Tell us what the facts are and let us decide.
Right. Well, here's the amazing thing with the media. All these studies that get reported, they never ask a critical academic to comment on them. I know when my research gets coverage, to the extent it does, I guarantee you every time it gets covered, they'll have a critical academic who will say something about it. In this case, or they'll find somebody who will be. In this case, they never even talk to anybody who's critical of the stuff. And it's just, you know, you want to think that reporters would believe that, you know, they should try to cover both sides of the issue. But I got a feeling in guns as well as in global warming and some other areas, they just think they should only provide one side of the issue. They might as well just give them free advertising time on the TV and radio.
Well, in essence, that's what they're doing. John, good to have you on the show. Keep up the good work. Again, the website for people to look up the info.
It's at crimeresearch.org, and they can find both of the studies we just talked about being discussed.
Thanks for being with us.
Original studies.
Good to talk with you.
Thanks.
Take care. John Lott. Right now, traffic, Mark Mitchell.